Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Rachel Ray is the nationally syndicated host of The Rachel Ray Show, as well as a Food Network superstar. She's best known for her 30-minute meals, her many, many cookbooks, magazine, and other television programs. Rachel Ray has become a staple of both cable and syndicated television. It all began at WRGB in Schenectady when she started the 30-minute meal segment more than a decade ago. She would regularly appear right here on WAMC and cook for us. She'd come in and make burgers and jambalaya and chicken stir fry. Well, during one program, a Food Network executive was listening, heard her, and a few weeks later she went on to sign a huge contract with the Food Network and later get a syndicated talk show with Oprah Winfrey's company. 2 years after her great success, E! Entertainment Television did an E! True Hollywood story on Rachel Ray and asked me if I would take part. It was the last time I actually saw Rachel Ray. This past weekend, I got to catch up with her while she's on spring break from her show and spending time in this region, a region she calls home. We reminisced about our time on the radio and, of course, about the E! True Hollywood story.
Last time I saw you was right before they came to our studio and they were recording your E! True Hollywood story. And they took over our studio for like 2 days.
Yeah, can you believe it all started with a guy named Lou Eckes heard me cooking a 30-minute meal on the radio and called Bob Tushman, who's still at Food Network today. And that's crazy. And it was all around the same time that someone had sent Al Roker one of the little 30-minute meal comfort food cookbooks that was being sold out of just Price Chopper's up here. And his producer, Michelle, had called my house to see if I could go do the Today Show all on the same weekend that I was cooking on the radio. And Lou told Food Network about it. And then when Food Network called to inquire because of what Lou had said, the one woman publisher that was printing my cookbooks that were sold in the grocery stores said, oh, you could check her out on the Today Show on Monday. So, you know, the Food Network got sort of duped into thinking I was someone from somewhere, you know. And I did tell them when I went in, the first thing out of my mouth was, I don't belong here. But they let me stay anyway.
But obviously talent wins out, doesn't it? I mean, the fact that you know what you're doing and that you're able to communicate.
You know, I think that that's still in debate to this day. You know, people still debate whether or not, you know, I belong on television with all of, you know, the world's greatest chefs. I'm a decent cook and I know how to make dinner and I try and raise my own bar and become better at my job every year. But I'm just there to be the conduit for people between you know, yes, I can, and no, I can't. There's a lot of amazing chefs on television. I think that I am somebody that people can watch and say, you know what? I may not be able to do what all those other people are doing, but I sure can do what she does. She's covered with burns. She drops stuff. She may not chop things the same way as everybody else, but I guess I'm the accessible.
The last time you were on our show, you were talking about the difficulty of, because you're not only doing your daytime show, but also doing the Food Network shows, of talking to no one, of just talking to that camera.
Yeah.
And being able to pull that off is a difficult thing.
You know, it gets a lot easier over the years because you learn all of the camera guys' names and you learn about their lives and their dogs and their kids and their wives, and so you don't really see a camera anymore. You see your friends standing there filming you, and all of our shows are unscripted. I don't wear IFBs, so it's very it's a lot more relaxed than when I do other people's shows, you know, as a guest. That's actually trickier for me, you know, or co-hosting as a guest somewhere, you know, where they ask you to put in an IFB, they pop out of my ears. I have funny shaped ears and very fat cheeks. And so IFBs are always falling out of my ears. And if you have to, you know, always beat a time and stuff, it's difficult. But our shows have gotten a lot easier for me over the years. And the daytime show is wonderful because we have the energy of live audiences. We do three shows a day. So there's, you know, 600 or 700 people coming and going in a day. And you get that energy from them. And every show that we do for the daytime show is completely different from the last. So your focus and your attention is all, you know, I'm on high alert all day. It's more of a challenge to do week in a day where I'm making in each show 5 meals, and the way it's shot, nothing's condensed. Like I'm actually cooking 2 days worth of food. The concept is in one day, or you know, whatever your big day off, you can make up to 5 dinners in that day. And then all week long, you're just sort of reheating stuff or throwing it in the oven or onto the stove. So that is a bit of a challenge when you're on your feet on concrete floors and you're making dinner 10 times and trying to instruct through 10 meals. And then I go home and make dinner for my husband. So that 11th dinner is a challenge. But it's days like those where, you know, I sort of need to go home and cook for us. You know, it just, because nothing makes me feel, ironically, you know, safer or calmer. Nothing helps me decompress more than making dinner quietly, not talking, with a glass of wine and listening to, you know, music, or, you know, watching my favorite television show while I'm doing, you know, our meal. That actually calms me down. So no matter how tired I am, I try and, unless I have a business thing after my work day, I always try and go home and make dinner.
I was at your studio just a few weeks ago with, you're doing the show with Selma Hayek.
I love Selma.
And, first of all, the studio is beautiful.
It's so lovely. The new studio is huge. And, you know, we redecorated when we moved into it, and I just love it. It's big and bright, and I was just joking with Jay that it still has that new studio smell, but it really does. And you know, I'm glad you brought up Selma.
I had to karaoke that time, and I did the Red Hot Chili Peppers, and I really did a very bad job with it. Yes, so I'm not very good
at
karaoke.
What was the song? Was it? Do you remember even?
It's the one that goes, "Give it away, give it away, give it away now." But you have to think, you know.
But that's tricky.
That's tricky because it's not even English. I mean, I'm having a hard time struggling trying to speak English, and then this is Red Hot Chili Pepper language. And I'm trying to read, and it's like super fast, you know. What you got, you gotta give it to me. And I'm trying to read. I'm dyslexic too, so it's really hard to read, and then all the words are similar. What you gotta give it to your mama. What you gotta give it to your papa. So it was really traumatic. You don't think it was, but it was.
I love guests like Selma because our show treats them differently, and here's what I mean by that. You know, you'll see A-list celebrities on many, many daytime and nighttime talk shows. But on our show, we like to really get to know a person over a period of time. And when Selma comes on our show, her grandmother was a botanist in Mexico. And Selma has a line of skincare, all sorts of things now. It's a very broad line of cosmetics and beauty, but it started with skincare. And she would literally bring back the ingredients, you know, some of the secret ingredients from Mexico herself. And she works in the lab, and she's like really into botany and affordable skincare. Arguably, she can afford quite easily and readily any cream or potion on the planet. She really uses this stuff. She really works at formulating it. So when she comes to our show, she's not just doing 4 minutes about the movie she's in. You know, a lot of shows just bring folks on, they tell one story, the producer asks them what personal story they want to tell, they run a movie clip, and you see pretty much the same interview with that person on all of those shows. On our show, if you want to talk about a movie, that's great, or your TV show, or your book, or whatever you're there for, but we also want you to relax and spend as long as you want to spend, and tell us about what charitable things you're involved in, or if you're Selma, for instance, hey, would you like to not talk about movies and just come in and do makeup or show people how to use skincare properly? And that's what she does when she comes to our show. She spent like 45 minutes, yeah. Like the cameras are off and she's still putting creams on people in the audience. And it's her dedication and her passion to all of the other parts of her life that we find interesting. So on our show, we want celebrities to feel comfortable enough that they can spend time. You know, Hugh Jackman, a great friend. I love him very much. He's a wonderful man. And we love to hear him talk about the movie or the show. But we also love him to talk about Laughing Man Coffee and where the money goes from his coffee company, and to tell us stories from his long and rich career, like, you know, how he and Deb got engaged. We like people that are famous to forget that they're famous while they're there and tell us about their hobbies and things that they're interested in other than what they're famous for. And many of our shows don't have any celebrities in them. We want our viewers to be a part of our programming, and we love to get to know special people and their communities and what they're doing. And we love our viewers to come on and be our models if we're doing beauty or makeovers or things. So we like to make people that aren't famous feel famous, and we like famous people to forget they're famous and let us know how they're more like us. And I think our show has kind of a unique personality in that way.
As a result of going to see that show that day with Salma Hayek, I now have a bag filled with shampoo for aging hair.
You'll have a nice, well, you have great hair, so Salma's products are working out really nicely for you.
Because you even said to me at that time, well, you're probably not going to like what you get, but you'll like who gives it to you.
That's right. Exactly.
You have the new book out, which is absolutely beautiful.
Thank you so much. This is a personal project in our home. It's literally something that my husband and I started doing a couple of years ago now, and we're still doing it to this day. We started journaling and taking home pictures of everything that we make in our home. So My Year in Meals is my title, but I have a co-author, My Year in Cocktails by John Cusimano. And it's a solid year of everything we did in our home. It was a really fun project, and it's something we continue to do today. So
I wish you all the luck in the world, and it's a delight to get together again and chat.
Thank you, my friend. It's all your fault.
Rachel Ray's new book is My Year in Meals. It is published by Atria. You can find out more about her by going to rachelray.com. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.